In this talk, I will present you some very much work in progress work. So the main motivation behind this work comes from a few comments that I received. I was often told that controlling computing system is quite messy, and, well, modeling that system is too complicated, therefore we will just do something simple and skip the modeling part. And I didn't like that, because I think modeling is important, but I have to say it's actually true. And depending on the level of the model that you want to create, creating a model for a computing system to be controllable can be quite hard. So let me give an example. Suppose that we want to model power consumption of a computing device, and that suppose that you're given the power consumption of each single instruction of the instruction set. Then that should be done. I mean, it should be quite simple. You're giving a piece of software, and then the power consumption of every instruction, and you should know how much the software consumes. But actually, you should also know how much that code that you have translate into those instructions, how many instructions of one type you have, how many move, how many add, how many store, and whatever else. And that's not something that is easy to obtain unless you know very much, very many details about the compiler, about the software, about the language that you're writing your code in. And these things are not always available. However, it's often much easier to know the relationship between what you can change in a system and what is the effect of your change. And that's really what you want to know when you're trying to control a computing system. So you want to say, I'm changing A and I'm measuring B. What is the effect of A into B? And this work is actually a first step to respond to the question of how to automatically control a computing system. So how to, you're given this system, you want this effect, you can change this thing, what is your best controller? And of course, I'm not responding to that question because it's years of research for that. But I'm going to tell you some first steps into that direction, and I'm going to talk about a methodology, some experiments, and the conclusion with the perspectives. So as I was saying, we have what we can change in the system, and we have what we can measure outside the system. And ideally, we would like to have something that generates one or more model for what's in between. And that should be kind of a black hole or something like that. So first thing that you get is something that generates configurations. So based on what you can change, what are the configurations that you have to test in order to get a good model? So a configuration generator selects a set of configurations that are calculated given the parameters that you can change. And it automatically generates in this work some scripts to be executed on the machine to get the numbers that you need to have to build the models. Together with that, there has to be a data collector. So once you have generated a set of configuration, you have to collect the data on the actual machine in order to build the model. And then this data collector will execute experiments on the machine, just collecting a bunch of results. So you have changed the number of cores of the platform, that was your parameter, and you're measuring execution time. And that is what you can measure in the system. This data collector will run some experiments with different number of cores and will tell you, oh, the execution time in this case was X, and in this other case was 2X. And there's, of course, in order to do something with that, you need to analyze this data. And then you need to have something that, given the data that you have collected, is generating models and telling you, well, this model is quite perfect. Its error is very, very low. But It has 50 variables, and I'm not sure you want to use all those 50 variables. Maybe you want to use only two of them, and in that case, the error is a bit higher. So, what does this data analyzer do? It starts with a single parameter linear regression, and it tries to explain the effect of that single parameter to the measure that you got. Of course, this measure, this model can be imprecise and so on, but it will give you some kind of rough estimate. After doing that for all the single parameters that you have specified, it will try to do the same with multiple parameters at the same time. So you have changed the number of cores, the frequency of this course, and the amount of memory given to your application. And these are three parameters, and the result of this data analyzer phase will be a model that, given these three parameters, will tell you what is the execution time of your application. So a practical example, because we are all tired and we want to keep the idea quite practical. You can execute a benchmark like Tomcat from the Dacapo benchmark suite, and then you execute it 50 times per configuration, and then you change the number of threads on a 16-core machine from 1 to 32 threads, and then you change the number of iterations that you want this benchmark to use from 1 to 10, and you model the real execution time of one instance. So, in this case, the tool will take 8 seconds to process all the data that it got. And it gets a fairly low error. You can check the numbers on the paper, but I can assure you it's about 1 second. So this benchmark will execute for about 30 seconds, and the error will be almost 1 second, given any unseen and unknown parameters. So some more interesting experiment, because this was a simple one. The first experiment will be about execution time, and the second one will be about the energy consumption of the machine. About execution time, we were trying to respond to the question, what do you need to measure the execution, to predict the execution time? Do you need the number? Do you need performance counters? Do you need to know how many cache misses your application is doing? Or do you need something that is more high level? Since we were working on Heartbeats before, we were using also Heartbeats to try to compare performance counters and Heartbeat in measuring the execution time. So we were measuring the number of instructions retired per second using OProfile, and then the number of heartbeats retired per second, which is a higher level measure of how many instructions your application is doing. We are doing that for two different benchmarks. One is Swaptions, and one is X264 from the Parsec benchmarks. So in this case, we have a training set that is composed by some videos for X264 and a certain number of options to be priced for Swaptions. And based on this, we build the model based on this training set, and then we try to apply the model to unforeseen data, and we try to see how much is the error. And as you can see, for this benchmark, using the heart rate, is very well in line with the real quantity that you want to model. So this number is quite similar to this one, and we are pretty satisfied with a model based on the heart rate for execution time of Swaption. On the contrary, using the number of instructions retired is not as well as the first. As in the first case. So here you see that if you build a model based on some instances, when you try to use that model, the error is much higher. So two orders of magnitude higher. And for swaption, a model based on the number of instructions retired is not a good predictor of what is going to happen when you change something in the system. On the contrary, for x264, as you can see, the number of instructions retired is a very good predictor of the execution time, while the heart rate is not as good as a predictor. Although you can see that these two errors are quite similar one to the other. So this error is similar to this one, and this error is similar to this one. So in both cases, you are able to at least quantify what is the error that you are committing using one quantity or another for prediction of your effect. Result insight. You cannot use one unique parameter to model execution time. It's not enough. In some cases, you might want one. You might want to use one. In some other cases, you might want to use another. And you don't know a priori which one is better. Okay, not so good results so far. A future work based on this can be how do we distinguish between one case and the other? How do we know if one is a good if one will be a good predictor or not? Is there a way to find it out before running the experiment, or is not? The second experiment, on the other hand, is about energy consumption, and we were measuring the energy consumed by the machine where we were executing some CPU-intensive applications. The question that we wanted to answer here is, do we need power sensors, hardware power sensor, to have a good predictor, or can we just use the CPU consume the amount of CPU used by the benchmark during execution, in case of CPU-intensive applications, of course. So we measure the execution time, the power consumption, and the CPU consumption of three different benchmarks. Two of them are coming from the Da Capo benchmark suite. The idea is using different suites to find out to show the generality of the approach. One other benchmark is just loading the CPU and doing some mathematical operation just to look busy. So as you can see, we were collecting the energy consumed by the machine, the CPU usage, the power consumption, and the execution time, varying the number of threads of the application. This is the same plot for another benchmark. So the first one was Trade Beans, and this second one is Look Busy. As you can see, the plots are quite different. So in this case, the CPU, this benchmark is not really parallel. So it's using only one CPU and a half. In this other case, for Look Busy, the CPU consumption grows linearly with the benchmark. So if you give the benchmark more CPUs, it will be it will load them all. So as expected, you can see that if the application is really CPU intensive, so these applications are in order from the least CPU intensive to the most CPU intensive. And as you can see, if the application is more CPU intensive, using the CPU consumption is a good predictor for energy consumption. And if the application is less CPU intensive, then you really need to use a power sensor for predicting the energy consumption. And this might be an interesting result if you want to do some kind of energy optimization of a machine where you don't have CPU, where you don't have power sensors. So in some cases, you might be able to know, well, the power consumption here will be this value because this application is CPU intensive and we know it, so we can do something about that. So One thing that I want to highlight is that all these sensors are available, as like all the code for this application is already available, and all the sensors that I mentioned are already available on most machines. So on most machines, you can measure execution time with the time command. You can have access to some register with power consumption, with temperature, and so on. So the released code will take all these available measurements, assuming that you installed a few applications like OProfile, and then we'll just do the analysis automatically. So to conclude the talk, we have developed a tool to build models based on the execution of application on specific hardware. And the tool is given as input a parameter list and what you can measure or what you want to measure in the system, and will produce different models to explain the data that it collects. So what do we want to do with this? Because so far it's really nothing interesting. It's something that we could have done case by case, and that wouldn't have made a big difference. So you need the expertise to build the model, but it's not that much. So something that we might want to do is automatic control generation. So we want to somebody that have never seen a system will run this tool and say, okay, and we'll have a controller code generated for them, saying, okay, you touch these parameters, and then your energy consumption will be almost fixed at this value for every benchmark that you run. Or your execution time the machine will automatically try to execute in this time. Something else that we might be interested in doing is exploring diagnostic features. So if the system is not behaving as the model that was automatically generated for that, there might be problems. So there might be it might be good to intervene and change something at this point in the system. That should realize the vision on self-healing. If we are able to detect failures in this way, we can heal the system and do something. Something else that I would like to explore with this is workload diversity. So a lot of the benchmark tools that the benchmark suite that you find claim that they have diverse workload. So the Parsec benchmark, we put together a bunch of applications. Some are coming from online trading, some are coming from image pattern recognition, image manipulation, and something. So this should be a diverse enough set of application. Can we say something about the models that we can come up with given those set of application? Are these models different? Are these of the same order or something like that? Also, this was important for the DaCapo benchmark suite. So they had a paper at Uppsala in 2005 saying that this benchmark suite is completely different than any other that you have seen, because some applications are parallel and some other are not. And for the result that I have, I can back up these results so far. So I've seen that some of these applications have execution time that depends, that scale linearly with the number of cores, and some other has not. And I guess that's it. At this address, you can find the tool released, and you can try it if you want. Thank you very much.
Questions?
So I have a question about what platforms does this tool run on, or how portable it is?
So right now it runs on Linux, and only Linux, because it uses some commands that are specifically of the system. So I guess we were trying to run it on different processors, and that was not a big deal, but you need support from the system. And if you want, for example, if you want performance counters, you need to run in a platform where you have installed OProfile or PuPI.
Yeah, the reason I was asking is because So we have that test bed with machines where we can do energy management. And I was wondering if in a Linux environment, I think this tool would be great to go, you know, to run that test bed and you know, experiment with, say, energy consumption of various applications.
Yeah, sure. I think it's, I mean, I was testing it on different Linux distributions, so I got it worked on Ubuntu and Fedora at the department for sure, so without any problem. Yeah, sure.
It's okay.
Yeah,
can
you? So I suppose in the part of the regression, applied to try to estimate a model of this benchmark project, there were some assumptions, I suppose, right? And you apply something like, I don't know, recursive least square?
Yes, ordinary least square for the multivariate regression and recursive least square for univariate.
So pretty much what, you've done up to now is assume that the system is linear and assume some order, some discrete thing. And you have in mind something applying, I don't know, some other approaches such as statistical learning. I don't know if you're familiar with that, or this kind of randomized algorithms that may give you another estimate. What is the spectrum of possibilities you have to apply this model estimation? Because some models are not going to be linear. So, do you have any? I don't know.
Yeah, sure. So right now, it's the tool is in its early stage, of course. So we were using linear models, and it's very easy to change something to add non-linearities among the parameters that you have measured. So it's quite easy to say that you have these parameters, you have the square, the power of 3 of this parameter, the power of 2, and the power of 1. But that's, of course, it's very similar to have linear models. It's just a trick. What we would want to explain, so for the self-healing and diagnostic direction, we would like to experiment with probabilistic models. So So from the equation model, translating it into a Markov chain that tells you what is the probability of failure and what is the probability of success of any request or of any run of the application or something like that.
And actually, I'm almost positive that you need to apply some sort of probabilistic approach to the diversity check, for example, some sort of statistical analysis, I suppose. If it is for the cloud, for example, because I believe you can use this in the cloud, how do you check diversity? I suppose you just need to calculate some statistical variables or something like that.
Yeah, I guess correlations, some kind of correlations between benchmarks and applications or something like that.
Okay, interesting. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you have plan to extend that to other resources beyond a CPU and? Like memory, I/O, networking, storage, disk.
So right now, it can support out of the box everything that you can change as a parameter from the command line. So it was very easy to test it with cores because you can write task set a certain number of cores this process, and it will execute with an affinity mask. It's also easy to experiment with memory because you can set the bound with for the memory of a specific process. But, of course, you will not have control on how much memory is actually allocated. You will have control only on the bounds. With cgroups, you can, with the cgroup file system, you can also experiment with network, I/O, and so on. But that needs extension. It's not supported out of the box, while CPU and memory are.
Okay. Other question?
What do you think is a feasible number of dimensions that could be explored using this technique? Data requirements are going to increase a lot.
Yeah, so
what do you think is feasible?
Right now, you don't get more than five dimensions. I mean, we tried to get 10, and it was impossible. The computation was going on forever. What we plan to do in that direction is having some kind of feedback-based model experiment generation. So you test one configuration, and you decide based on the result of that test which next configuration you want to test, and if there are some that you can skip. That is not a good response so far, but it's the only response I can give you now.
Will there be some feature selection techniques that you will
Yes. So right now it works with five parameters at the same time.
With the assumption that this kind of approach is mainly applicable to a system that you can actually do this kind of profiling offline, so you can't really do this on a production system.
Correct. So what the main rationale behind it is that you do this kind of profiling before running the production system, so you get the model that you want to have, and then you can design a controller for the online phase trusting that model, and maybe you can keep track of you can get some measurement on the production system while it runs and see how far is from that model, and then at some point you will go too far and say, okay, I have to rerun the tool to get a better model for this, otherwise I will not be able to control it effectively. Of course, that's a big limitation.
Yeah, one last comment related with what Jeff said. So how accurate the model could be? That's an interesting question, because we don't need very accurate models.
So
like the power, right?
Yeah, so
because we are going to set feedback loops. So
correct.
Controllers can tolerate quite a bit of errors with the models.
So on the accuracy of the model, you can select it on the command line when you run the tool. So you can say, I want the first model that satisfies some requirements, so the error is lower than a certain threshold, and the order of the model, so its accuracy in the end, should be lower than this value, and that would trade off accuracy for complexity of the model. So the good thing will be saying, well, I want a third or a fourth order model, because that's amount the quantity of data that I can store for previous execution and so on. So, but of course it depends on the application.
Okay, now let's thank the speaker again.